presence with us. We're going to be thinking about the scriptures tonight, and we're going to sing a hymn to commence with about the word of God. There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old, who calls with shepherd voice the flock that wanders from the fold. So we'll sing the verses of this hymn together, remaining seated as we sing, please. Let's just stand together, please, as we come to commit the meeting to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence and we come just to commit the meeting into your hands. Want to give thee thanks that we're able to be here tonight. We thank you, Father, for ordering our circumstances, giving us health and strength that we can come along to the house of God. We thank you for our midweek service. We're glad of this night set aside, Father, when we can give ourselves to the things of God, especially to the reading, to the studying of your word, and to lifting our hearts to thee in prayer. And Lord, even as we've been singing together, we want to thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you for the exceeding great and the precious promises of Scripture. We want to pray, Father, that you'll deepen our desire even to read and to study your word. We want to pray that we'll meditate upon it day and night. We want to pray, Father, that even you'll own in a very special way our study of the scriptures here this evening. We want to pray, Father, that you'll speak to us. We want to pray that you'll challenge us, that we'll feel the edge of the sword of the Spirit. We want to pray, Father, that you'd give to us even a stronger grip on the sword of the Spirit, that we're able to contend for the faith of the gospel in these difficult days, even in which we're found. We want to pray as a church, Father, that you'll lead us on with yourself. We pray that you'll lead us on as a congregation in the place of prayer. We want to pray for the blessing of God to rest upon these midweek meetings, especially the season of prayer. Lord, remember the words of the chorus that we teach the children, that as the prayers go up, the blessings come down. And Lord, we're desirous, we're in great need of the blessing of God to come down upon us. We want to pray that you'll bless us here tonight. We pray that you'll bless all that are gathered here this evening. Thank you for each one that is present in the house of prayer. And Lord, we pray that every heart will be encouraged, that every soul will be blessed, even through this service this evening. We're glad that in prayer we can commit it unto thee, commit the way into your hands. And Lord, we want to pray that as a church that will be a soul-winning church, we pray that over this summertime that you'll hear our cries, that you'll do great and mighty things amongst us. Lord, we want to pray that there'll be some prominent people in this city and in this community that will be converted and won to Christ. We want to pray, Father, even for some that are opposed to the gospel, some that are noted for their atheistic spirit. We want to pray, Father, that you'll break through in their hearts and in their lives. We pray that you'll change them, transform them, that you'll make them new creatures in Christ, and even a great testimony to the power of the gospel. We want to ask thee to remember the special services this Sabbath day, or our Children's Day services. Lord, come amongst us. We ask thee to bring in visitors. We pray that you'll bring in young families, families with young children. We want to pray, Father, that you'll encourage us even in that regard as we look around both morning and evening this Sabbath. And we pray, Father, that we'll rejoice to see those that have been drawn in to the house of the Lord. And Lord, we're mindful too of the special gospel services that are being planned even for the summertime, those drive-in meetings. We want to ask, Father, that from the very beginning that they'll know the hand, the blessing, the seal of God resting upon them. We commit all the plans, all the preparations, Father, just into your hands. We're in great need of thee to be with us. We're ever mindful of the exhortation of the psalmist that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. And Lord, we know that unless you're with us, guiding and prospering all that we do, that all our efforts will be in vain. And we want to ask, Father, those meetings will be extraordinary meetings. We pray there'll be a great interest in them. We pray that there'll be a stirring of God in the community as a result of them. We want to pray, Father, that there'll be the means of bringing many souls in this district and in this county even under the sound of the gospel. We want to pray, Father, that you would be pleased to draw in many. We ask for a work of the Spirit. We ask for a move of God. We pray, Father, that you'll give us a divine visitation. We ask, Lord, even for a time of revival over this summertime. We want to pray, Father, that there'll be a driving back of the powers and the forces of darkness. And we want to pray that the cause of the gospel will wax stronger and stronger again in this land of ours. And Lord, as we pray for the blessing of God upon the work here, we do the same for our neighbours in Market Hill with the special meetings that are being conducted there this week. Remember your servant, Mr. Shields and Mr. Maxwell. Bless both of these brethren. Lord, may they know the help of God. We pray you'll keep them safe in their journeys. Keep them, we pray, in good health. We pray that you'll guide them every day in their messages. And Lord, put the hand of God upon those meetings. May the power of God come down. And we pray that even the town and the district of Market Hill might be moved for God as a result of those special meetings, even at this time. So Lord, hear these our prayers now. We want to just commit the meeting to thee, give the service into your hands. And we pray that your hand will be upon each of us that are gathered here tonight. And Lord, when the meeting's over and when we part to go home again, we want to be able to say, that we met with God in this place tonight. So answer these our cries. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to take the scriptures, our readings found in Deuteronomy 17, please. The Old Testament scriptures. The book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. We're beginning to read at the 14th verse. And we're going to read down to the end of this portion of the Word of God. So Deuteronomy 17, the 14th verse. Let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts tonight. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Ending the reading just at the close of the chapter. We pray the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. The 19th verse is our text tonight. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. The great Puritan preacher Thomas Watson has a sermon that's in print, that has been published, available today, on this text, Deuteronomy 17, verse 19. And in true Puritan style, there's 24 points to the sermon. I commend it to you, as with all of Thomas Watson's writings and his messages, that they're of great profit. So I encourage you, if you get the opportunity, to find that and to study it for yourself. Thomas Watson is often described as the prince of the Puritans. But we want to consider, just for a little while, this verse before we come to the time of prayer tonight, especially the words at the beginning of the verse where it says, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. The theme tonight is how to read the Bible. I want to emphasize the importance of reading the scriptures to you this evening. This verse is primarily an instruction for those who would sit on the throne of Israel in Old Testament times. What we've been told here by Moses is the king, when he was reigning, he was to keep a copy of the scriptures near to his side, near to his throne, and he's being exhorted here to continually read over the Word of God. But what I want to emphasize in the service tonight is that that task of Bible reading is not just God's will for those who would have been monarchs in Israel in ancient time. It is also God's will for you and for me. This verse of Scripture sets us an example of how we should treat the Scriptures. And it teaches us, brethren and sisters, that the Christian should be a Bible reader. This task of reading the Scriptures is something that should be very prominent. It's something that should be given a lot of time in your life. You may read other books and other publications, and that's good and right and profitable. But first and foremost, as a Christian, you ought to be a reader of God's Word. The fact is, the child of God should be a person who spends much time in the Scriptures. That should be the characteristic of the life of every believer. And in this meeting, I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you as well. And I want to encourage and challenge you about reading the Bible. I want to encourage you tonight, or want to urge you to get back to the Bible, and especially to get back to the reading of the Bible. And I want to bring that challenge to your hearts tonight, so that you would think of reading the Bible more regularly. Think of reading the Bible more than ever before. And I want to challenge you tonight even to read the Bible right through from beginning to end. At this time of the year, it's possible to get a wee bit careless with regard to our spiritual devotions, get a wee bit careless about Bible reading, or get too busy to read the Scriptures. And that ought not to be the case. So I want to bring a challenge to your hearts tonight. And I want to bring that challenge by giving some guidance on the vital question, how to read the Bible. This verse, the context in which it's found, answers that question for us very clearly indeed. So let me emphasize to you, first of all, as we think of how to read the Bible, the first answer we'll emphasize is that you should read the Bible daily. If you think of what the text says, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. You should read the Bible daily. I think it's true to say in most homes in our land, there's what is known as a china cabinet. That is where the best cups and the best plates in the house are kept. And those cups and plates are not brought out every day. They're just brought out on special days, on special occasions. But I want to stress to you that the Bible is not to be treated like your best china. The Bible is not a book that's to be kept away in the cupboard, kept away in a glass case, and just brought out to be read on special days or special occasions. The Bible's not just a book to carry to church on Sunday. No, I want to stress to you, impress upon your hearts, that you should be reading the Word of God every day. Or as the text says, the text states, all the days of your life. Do you remember in the book of Acts, we're told about the Bereans? It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Note the word. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bereans were people, and every day the Bible was in their hands. Every day they read the Scriptures. And that, brethren and sisters, is an example that we should follow. Never a day of your life should pass without lifting the Bible and casting your eyes over its pages. Now, I know that you might say, that's a bit much. My schedule is very full. My days are very busy. I know I should read the Bible, and I do it when I can. But there's just no way that I could do it every day. Just too many other things to do, just too much else that is on in my life. But the reality is, and it's a simple reality that we all have to face, if you're too busy,
to read the Bible, then as a Christian, you just are too busy. And there's some things that needs to be left out of your life. There's some things that need to be given up in your daily routine. Generally, we get things the wrong way around. Generally, we get our priorities wrong. We give up our Bible reading. Now, just think of that. We would give up our Bible reading before we would give up the mundane duties, the daily activities. But the reality is, if we're getting our priorities right, that the mundane duties should be given up in order to make place, to make time to read the Word of God. So what you need to do, what we all need to do, is make time to read, and especially to make time to read the Bible. You think of these examples, some examples of those who diligently read the Scriptures. George Mueller, that founded the orphanage, or the orphanages in Bristol. George Mueller said on one occasion he had read the Bible through 100 times. That's a staggering statement. Let me give you some idea of what that would mean. To read the Bible through 100 times, you'd have to read the Word of God, or read 7 chapters of the Word of God every day. And you need to keep that up for a period of 50 years. Just to be able to say you read the Bible through 100 times. George Mueller said in that same statement that after reading the Bible 100 times, that he thought then and only then was he really ready, made adequate preparation for some serious study of the Scriptures. There's a man called Samuel Ansley. He was John Wesley's grandfather. And from when he was just a lad of 6 years of age, he formed the habit of reading the Bible, 20 chapters of the Word of God every day of his life. Arthur Pink, who was a very noted Bible commentator the early part of the 20th century, he committed himself to reading 10 chapters of the Word of God every day. Harry Ironside was a noted Bible teacher in America. He grew up especially among the Plymouth Brethren. He had a ministry particularly among the Brethren. Whenever he was a lad of 14, Harry Ironside heard for the first time about reading the Bible once every year, reading the Bible through at least once every year. He'd never heard about that before. So when he was a lad of 14, he read the Bible through 14 times, just as a teenager, once for every year that he'd lived so far. And he kept that up, and for the rest of his life, he read the Bible through at least once every year that he lived. He said he'd been convicted and challenged about it. He said that when he stood before the Lord, he wanted to be able to say to the Lord on the judgment day that he had read the Word of God once, at least once, for every year that he'd lived here upon this earth. So it's a great challenge as you think of those examples, and they're just a few of many that could be given. And I don't want you to think, as you consider those men, that they had nothing else to do, only spend time every day reading the Bible. You read their biographies, read their life story. They were busy men. They were men that did much and accomplished much for the Lord. So the question is, how did they do it? And the answer is this, brethren and sisters, they made time for the Scriptures every day. And the reality is that you and I need to do the same. I read once of a man that was known, he was known by his friends, it was known quite widely, that he read a lot, devoted a lot of time to reading. And he was asked the question, how do you get time to read? Well, the answer that he gave was quite insightful. He said, I don't get time to read, I take time to read. And there's a world of difference between the two. And you need to do the same. Brethren and sisters, remember, think of it in this light, or think of it in these terms. You take time every day to eat. You never dream of a day passing without eating. And in similar fashion, you need to take time every day to read the Bible. Because remember, what this book is your spiritual food. And your soul needs the Word of God every day, just as much as your body needs the bread that sits on the table. So I want to challenge you tonight, read the Bible daily. Read it every day of your life. And as you think of that, ask the question, did you read the Bible today? Did you take time today to read a little of the Word of God? Or has the Bible been a neglected book in your life today? You think of another question in that light. What condition is your Bible in? Is it a book that indicates that it's well used, well read, well handled? Vance Havner, the American evangelist, said, if you see a Bible that's falling apart, because of its regular reading being greatly used, if you see a Bible that's falling apart, it generally belongs to someone who isn't. Does not sum it up well. It gives you that inner peace. It gives you the strength, the grace, the great foundation of the promises of Scripture to be able to stand upon. In South Wales, there's a place near to Cardiff City called St. Fagans. It's a museum of Welsh life. One of the things that you can go to see there is a row of Welsh terraced houses that covers a period of Welsh history of about 250 years, maybe from the 1700s right up into the middle 1900s and a little beyond. One of the things that's very noticeable as you go in and out of every one of those houses, in every one of them, there was a Bible. There was the large family Bible. It had a prominent place, not just in the home, but in the lives of those people, the lives of those families. So there was a Bible in every one of the homes, except for the last one. And the thing that had taken the place of the Bible in the last home was the television. And that tells a striking story. The amount of time that's maybe given to watching the television in comparison to the time that's given to reading the Word of God. So the first answer to the question, how should we as God's people read the Bible? The answer is we should read it daily. The second answer I'll give to you from the context here is we should read the Bible completely. You look at verse 18, the previous verse, it says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. That's an interesting verse. I don't want to take time to dwell on it too much. It indicates to us that the way that the king got a copy of the Bible was he had to write it out, or a copy of what they had as the scriptures at that time. The way that he obtained it was he went to the priests, the Levites. They had the originals, what are sometimes described as the autographs, and they were to copy, make their own copy, their own written copy from those autographs. But I want to stress to you that the Lord wanted him to have a complete copy of the scriptures. God wanted him to have a complete copy of the Word of God that was available at that particular time. And the reason why God wanted the king to have a complete copy of the scriptures was available was this, because God wanted him to read all of the Word of God that was available to him. And I want to stress to you, brethren and sisters, that you're to read through the whole Bible. You're to read all of the revelation that God has given to you. You need to start at the beginning and then read right through to the end. You need to read the whole Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation and then go back and start at Genesis all over again. The sad reality is a lot of Bible reading by Christians is done piecemeal. They read a bit here, and then they read a bit there. Maybe read a chapter in the Psalms yesterday, read a chapter in Matthew today, perhaps read a chapter in Genesis tomorrow. Just open the Bible up in the morning, and it's really just like a lucky dip. We just say Where will I read from today? There's no clear, regular, systematic reading of the Word of God. And the result of that type of reading is that many books and passages of the Bible are never read at all. There are some books, some portions of Scripture that are completely and totally neglected by the people of God. And how sad that is, brethren and sisters. Let me stress this basic truth for you tonight. There are 66 books in the Bible, and God gave you 66 books because He intends you to read all 66 of them. God intends you to read all of the books, all of the message that He has given to you in His Word. It's wrong as a Christian to decide, I'll not read that book of the Bible because it's too hard, or I'll not read that book of the Bible because it's too long, or I'll not read that book of the Bible because I don't like the message that's contained within it. God intends you to read all of the books of His Word. Can you imagine what it would be like to get to heaven and to meet men like Joel and Haggai and Ezekiel? And remember that you will know those men. We will know one another in heaven. And they will say to you, I wrote that book in the Bible and the Old Testament Scriptures. And maybe you'll have to hang your head in shame and say, well, I knew about your book. I learned the books of the Bible as a child in Sunday school and children's meeting. Sometimes the minister might read or speak from your book, but I never actually read your book completely through myself. Imagine that. Or worse still, think of arriving at the judgment, standing before God, and having to admit to the Lord that you didn't read all of the book, didn't read all of the message, didn't read all of the Bible that He had sent to you. Think of the disgrace that would be. The reality is, brethren and sisters, there's not another book in the world that you would read in such a sporadic, haphazard fashion. So why read the book of books in that manner? And let me tell you one reason why you should read the whole Bible. It's because one part of the Scriptures throws light upon another. The Scriptures are their own best interpreter. Scripture interprets Scripture. In reading the Bible, there's a need to compare Scripture with Scripture. So if you don't read the whole Bible, then there'll be parts of the Bible that will remain dark and closed to you. So I want to encourage you tonight. Read the Bible completely. Just think of that question for a moment. Have you ever read the whole of the Word of God, the whole Bible through? Or are there pages of your Bible that you've never opened, pages in the Word of God that you have never cast your eyes upon in all the years that you have been a Christian, in all the years that you have been saved? Can I say to you, brethren and sisters, that as a child of God, if there's one thing that you should be determined to do before you die, and determined to do before your life ends, it's to read the Bible through at least once. At least once. So read the Bible completely. The final answer to the question how to read the Scriptures is read them submissively. Look again at verse 17. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord as God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Notice the words right at the end of the verse, to do them. Whenever you read the Scriptures, you should yield. You should surrender yourself to its teaching. As a Christian, you ought to obey the message of the Bible. You ought to carry out the commands of the Word of God. Because if you don't do the things that you read, then you're not reading the Bible aright. Let me ask you to think of the question, why do we read the Bible? Is it not to learn what God wants us to do in life, with our lives here upon this earth? You think of the Shorter Catechism and ask the question, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The answer that is given as the Scriptures principally teach, what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. So there, brethren and sisters, is what you'll find in the Bible, the duty that God requires you to fulfill. In other words, you'll find his will for your life. The Bible is God's instruction manual for the Christian life. This book will tell you how God wants you to live while you're down here upon this earth. There's an acrostic for the word Bible that describes it like this: basic instruction before leaving earth. And that sums it up very well. That's the message of the Word of God to the heart of the Christian. And if your reading of the Word of God is to be done fully and correctly, then you must do the things that you read. It's not merely God's purpose that you hear his word, and that's necessary and it's right. That's why we have meetings such as this, for the Word of God to be proclaimed. But it's not merely God's purpose that you hear his word. His purpose in hearing his word is that you might do it, that you might carry it out in your life. Do you remember what James said? We're not to be hearers only. We're not just to be sermon tasters, but we're to be doers of the blessed word of God. If you remember what Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that, brethren and sisters, is how to read the Bible. As you're reading, and we're praying for the Lord to speak, whatsoever he saith, whatever it is that the Lord asks of you or says to you, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, obey it, carry it out in your life. So read the Scriptures submissively. So here's a little, brethren and sisters, of how to read the Bible. Read them daily. Read the Word of God completely. And read the Scriptures submissively. Let me tell you this as a finish. In Burryport in South Wales, when we were there, there was a dear old Roman Catholic lady that came from Newcastle here in County Down. She had moved out there when she was about 80 years of age to be with her daughter. Her daughter's husband was from Wales. The daughter had moved over whenever she'd get married. Her husband had been tragically killed as a young man in a boating accident. So the mother moved across at that elderly age to be with her daughter and to give her some support. We got to know about her. It's one of the things when you move to a different locality, everybody tells you about the people from your country or your part of the country that's living in that area. So we got to know this lady, would visit with her, speak with her about the things of God. I remember reading to her one day from John chapter 3, seeking to emphasize to her heart the importance of the new birth. She said that she thought she'd heard about Nicodemus. And I wanted to give a little bit of weight to what I was saying, and I said to her, you know, the Bible, the Word of God, tells us and teaches us about Nicodemus and the message the Lord Jesus gave to him. Well, I never forgot the answer she gave to me that day. She said, you know, in our church, talking about the Roman Catholic Church, we don't bother much with the Bible. It's not a tragic statement, men and women. It probably does sum the Church of Rome up to a large extent. It probably, in the day in which we live, sums up a number of Protestant churches as well. But it also sums up the lives of those, some of those who profess the name of Christ. They don't bother much with the Bible, with the Word of God. How sad that is, men and women. Can I ask you, just as we close tonight, do you read the Bible? Do you read the Word of God as you should? Did you read the Bible today? You just ask yourself, if your Bible could speak, if your Bible could give a report in this meeting, what sort of report would it tell? What sort of report would it give? Would it tell a story that would maybe put you to shame? Would it tell a story of a book that is greatly neglected, a book that sits untouched for most of the week, a book that is only lifted to be carried out to the meetings? Mr. Spurgeon, in his very clear and concise manner, said on one occasion that the Bibles of some Christians are so neglected that you could write damnation on the dust on the cover. I want to say, men and women, I pray the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. If you have been neglecting the reading of the Word of God, not been attending to it as you should, may the Lord challenge you about that tonight. And may every one of us that profess the name of Christ, may we be readers of the Scripture. May that be the mark, the characteristic, or one of the marks and characteristics of our lives. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord as God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. We pray the Lord will bless and use his word as it has gone forth.